him and blessed him. And Abraham gave him one-tenth of all he had taken. The first meaning of Melchizedek's name is King of Righteousness. And because he was King of Salem, his name also means King of Peace. There is no record of Melchizedek's father or mother, or of any of his ancestors, no record of his birth or of his death. He is like the Son of God. He remains a priest forever. You see then how great he was. Abraham, our famous ancestor, gave him one-tenth of all he got in the battle. And those descendants of Levi, who are priests, are commanded by the law to collect one-tenth from the people of Israel, that is, from their own people, even though they are also descendants of Abraham. Melchizedek was not descended from Levi, but he collected one-tenth from Abraham and blessed him, the man who received God's promises. There is no doubt that the one who blesses is greater than the one who is blessed. Well, we're going to swap over now. I'm going to pray for Joe as he comes to share with us. Lord Jesus, thank you for the words you've given Joe, Lord. Thank you for the thoughts and the clarity and the insights and the message from your heart for us this afternoon. Lord, may we hear it and all you've got to say to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. I'll just start my timer. So today we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews from the Bible. Now the Hebrews is one of the letters which was written, it appears in the New Testament, it was written to Christians, to churches, to help them to encourage them and to help them to understand what Christianity was all about and help them to continue living the Christian life. Now, as we've just seen in the game, sometimes if people are dressed up differently or look a bit different from how we're expecting them or in a different context, it's difficult to recognize them. But there are always things that stand out, that shine through and help you, whether it was Ian's eyebrows or Denise's mouth or whatever it was, you could pick out something and say, ah, that is that person. And we can recognize people like that. And today we're looking at the mysterious Mr. Melchizedek, who appears a number of times in the letter to the Hebrews. And while he is mysterious, I mean, he has a funny name, doesn't he? We don't hear that. You don't know anyone called Melchizedek, do you? No? No one? And we, you know, he sounds a bit funny. It's a funny little story that we're going to look at. But as we see, as we've started to look at already, he is very familiar. And there's some very familiar things to us. Now, I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you meet someone out of context and you can't remember who they are. Everyone ever had that? Maybe, you know, if you're a child, maybe you meet your teachers out of school and you just don't recognize who they are, or you meet your neighbor, someone from your street, or someone you work with or met at church, or a friend of a friend, and you can't remember who they are. I think my favorite example of this is Debs and I were driving down Broccoli Rise, stopped at the zebra crossing, someone was crossing, and I said, oh, we know them. We know them, quick. So we hooted the horn, waved at them. She looked confused, slightly embarrassed maybe, waved back and crossed over, and then we continued driving. I said, I remember who that is. That's that one off MasterChef. Yeah, we did know her, and she was very dear to our hearts. We'd never actually met her before, even though it did feel like it. So those things happen. We can recognize. We can just see something, and we recognize something as something else. Now, I'm going to need a few volunteers, especially, yes, Amy, come forward. I need a few volunteers who are good at digging. Ellen, now come forward, yeah. How about I have five volunteers? Come on in, Esther. I need two more. Oh, that's it, Jasmine. Any more? And Abby, wonderful. Right, now, no snatching. What we're going to do, take a spade each. No, wait, That's it. Now, you'll need a spade and a sieve, and we will take it in turns. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to dig from here and sieve it, and when you find a bit of treasure, you take it out, you hold it up, and you stop, okay? And then you give the spade to the next person. And anyone who spills any sand is going to be tidying it all up. Have you found any treasure? While they're doing that, this is to help us understand a bit about who Melchizedek is. We're going to think about a little bit what the whole letter of Hebrews is about. Have you found any? Wonderful. Now hold, you take one. Now hold it up. That's it. Well done, Jasmine. Hold, no, just one each. One each. Give one to someone else. Oh, it's going well. It's going very well. That's not treasure. That's a bit of stick. I put that in there as a rogue element. Now, so the person who wrote the letter to the Hebrews, they're a Jewish Christian. They're writing to other Jewish Christians to encourage them in how they follow Jesus. I think we might have finished now. Now, yeah, hold it up. Hold it up for everyone to see. That's it. That's it. Turn around. Hold it up. I think we've finished. Very well done. A round of applause. There we go. Now, you can go back now. Please go back now. Parents, come and... that's it. You can keep them if you want them. Yeah, why not? Now, So the Jewish writer who was writing the letter to the Hebrews, they were taking the Jewish scriptures, and they were basically like that big load of sand, and they were sifting through them and picking out, I had pound coins, I didn't have an actual treasure, so there were a few of them in there. And they were sifting them out and then sort of holding them up in the book of Hebrews and saying, this is what it's all about. This is our scriptures, this is what we know, and these are the really important bits, like these pound coins. These are sort of like precious nuggets, or bits of gold or pearls or beautiful jewels, and this is what it's all about. So Hebrews is like this collection of little treasures, a little treasure trove, and Melchizedek is a little precious nugget. So let's take a deeper look and see why he's so precious. And there we have someone panning for gold, and in the next one, look, there's someone's found a nugget, which is very nice, very lucky for them. Now, so as I've mentioned, Melchizedek appears in the Old Testament, but as a quick quiz, how many places does Melchizedek appear? Is it one, two, three, five? This is very confusing now. 4, 13 places, or 5 in 37 places. Esther thinks it's 2. You didn't have any help from your dad, did you? You did. Oh, cheater. 2. Well, 2 is the right answer, yes. 2 is indeed the right answer. So in Genesis 14, we have this story. And Melchizedek, who was king of Salem and also a priest of the Most High God, brought bread and wine to Abram, blessed him and said, "May the Most High God, who made heaven and earth, bless Abram. May the Most High God, who gave you victory over your enemies, be praised." And Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the loot he had recovered. Now, for this pound coin, who can tell me what other place Melchizedek appears in? Oh, we've skipped on too quickly, Leslie. That's ruined that point. It's fine. She doesn't get the pound for that, no. Psalms, Vicky got the point. It was obvious. But she was the first. Well done. There you go. There's your bit of treasure. Now, so in Psalm 110, it says, "The Lord made a solemn promise and will not take it back. You will be a priest forever in the priestly order of Melchizedek." So, let's move on to this slide. We've already there. Go back one. I was joking. The first time Melchizedek is mentioned is when he blesses Abraham, and that's roughly 2,000 years before Jesus is born. And then we have another mention of him in the Psalms, and that's roughly 1,000 years before Jesus is born. And then we're up to zero when Jesus is born. He's sort of, Hebrews is written probably before the fall of Jerusalem, so it's not too far beyond that. So roughly, he gets a mention every 1,000 years, which, you know, is a bit odd, isn't it? Now, so he comes back in the New Testament, but here's an interesting thing. Now, I'm maybe alone in this, but as a scientist, I like graphs and charts and things. Flick on now. Now, here's the Old Testament people named in Hebrews. I counted 22 in all. I mean, if you're bored, you can do that now. If later, go home and think and try and list them all down, who's named in Hebrews. I've only got the ones named that twice or above. There's a whole load of number ones, which would make a great episode of Bible Pointless. But that's another week. We'll do that next time. Now, which one do you think is Melchizedek here? We've got green, orange, red, blue, purple, or one of the other colours. Which one? You're going for green. No, it's not green. You're going for red. It is red. So, that's it there. Now, I haven't got any pounds left. For a further prize, who are the green and orange? Do we know? Jesus isn't an Old Testament person in this strict sense. Peter, Moses and Abraham, in the correct order, yes. So if you, next slide, we have Moses, Abraham, Melchizedek. But Melchizedek, who appears twice in the whole Old Testament, is mentioned over twice as many times as Aaron, Jacob, and four times as many as David, Isaac, Esau, Joseph, Levi, Abel. So loads of famous people from the Old Testament get a bit of a mention, but Melchizedek gets lots of mention here. It's sort of all of a sudden he's trending in Hebrews. It's like hashtag Melchizedek. And if you don't understand what I mean, ask the youth. They'll tell you all about that. So he's Hebrews, at least in Hebrews, Melchizedek is in bronze medal position. He's one of the chief people, the really important people in the history. So, what is it about this man that he seems to pop up once in a while, and then all of a sudden, he's really important? Now, we don't know much about him. We don't know whose father or mother were, it doesn't say in the text. We don't know what he was wearing. We don't know anything else about him, really. But now I need a volunteer. We do know some things. I'll need a youth-sized volunteer. A youth-sized volunteer. I'm looking at there, over there, one of you. Peter! Now, Peter, all your dreams are coming true. It's not even Christmas yet. Let's put this on. This is your kingly robe. We don't know what he was wearing. It might have been this, though. Here's a nice wig. Come on, come on. That's it. There we go. And a beard as well. You just hook those bits over your ears. Yeah, if you've got some. There we go. Wonderful. The hair, yeah. You're not used to it. I know. So here stands before you a very accurate representation of Melchizedek, as in we don't know what he looked like. Peter doesn't know what he looks like right now, but here we are now. But we do know some very important things about Melchizedek from the passage. Next slide. First of all, as we've already seen, Melchizedek, his name, means King of Righteousness. So King of Righteousness. It's pretty good, huh? Yeah. He was King of Salem, which, as we've heard, means peace. Later became Jerusalem, so King of Peace. And he was the first priest to be mentioned in the whole Bible. So he, and also in Hebrews, it talks about him being a priest forever to the God Most High. And in Genesis, we go back, and what does he give to Abraham? He gives him bread and wine, represented by some grapes. Bread and wine. What else does he give to Abraham? He gives him blessing. You just have to make something up for that. I've run out of props. And also, what happens is he receives honor from Abraham. Abraham gives him a tenth of all of the spoils that he got from winning the battle. So, well, I don't haven't got any money left now. Here's 10p. 10. 10, that's a tenth of a pound. Brilliant. So there you go. There's 10p. There's your tithe. And he's received it. And what it says in Hebrews is that because it was Melchizedek who blessed Abraham, Melchizedek was the greater. He was more important. So the last point there, he's greater than Abraham. And of course, as we've looked at, we see these things, this list of things, King of Righteousness, King of Peace, Eternal Priest of the Most High God, bread and wine, blessing and honor, Abraham, and it sounds just like, you already know the answer, you should be saying, you sounds like Jesus. So there we go. Now, of course, I forgot your medal, your medallion, and it's going to be even better, look at this. There we go. Melchizedek. Jesus. There we go. So we can see that all of those things, all of those characteristics, the situation is strange, his clothes, his look may be very strange, but what we can see shining out of him is Jesus. Okay, so however strange you look, however strange the situation you're in, you can look like Jesus. That's the point we take for. Thank you very much, Peter. You can keep wearing it if you like, or take it off. So Melchizedek looks just like Jesus. And as my helpers demonstrated in the sand, the writer of the Hebrews was taking the Old Testament, sifting through and taking out those sort of coins, those bits of treasure. And why put coins in there? They have the Queen's head stamped on them. It's not, you know, actually a part of the Queen's head, but it's the Queen's head is stamped on that coin, so you know what it is. And in Hebrews, the writer of the Hebrews has gone through and they've picked out these precious bits, but why are they precious? It's because they look like Jesus. They've got the stamp of Jesus all over them. They look like him. They've got his head on them. So when Jesus is revealed as Christ, the Messiah, in the New Testament, the Jews who were steeped in all of their scriptures could see that rather than just being a bit part player in a strange little story that we don't really remember much about from early on in the Bible, Melchizedek becomes a key figure, and that is why he's mentioned all of those times. He is now all of a sudden really important because he helps us to understand so much. Now, just to whet your appetite for further study, Genesis 14 is a pivotal passage. There's loads and loads of important biblical ideas which sort of come forth and are first seen in Genesis 14. So the first priest, the first time Jerusalem is mentioned, the first time tithing is mentioned, the Lord's table, as the bread and the wine appears, and the first time that the kingdom of God appears. Now, if you want to know more about all of that, then I've brought along a few copies of this for anyone who hasn't read Roger's book, Kingdom of Jesus. Then there's a good chapter in there, chapter 3, I think, which will tell you more about that. So come and grab me later. I've got some copies. So finally, how do we apply this into our lives? What does it mean for us? Well, if we're Christians, then Jesus promises that if we follow him, he will come and live in us. That's what he says in John 14. He says, those who love me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and my Father and I will come to them and live with them. And that means that as we walk with Jesus, as we walk on with him, that we will start to look like him. It doesn't mean, of course, that we necessarily have to grow a beard, although some people do. But when people look at us and they see what we do and how we live our lives, that they will see a bit of Jesus. Just like in those photos, people might be disguised, but we can see something which shines through and says, this is Jesus that's doing it. Maybe in your eyes, maybe in your smile, maybe in your actions, your words. And the more we keep following Jesus, the more we will look like him. So, final slide, how do we look like more? How do we more look like Jesus? So we be righteous. He's the King of righteousness. We be like him. We do the right thing. We bring peace. He's the King of peace. We give our lives to God in worship. We bring Jesus to others. The bread and the wine represent his body and his blood, his sacrifice, what he did for us, for forgiving our sins. So we do that to other people. Bless and receive. We bless people. We either bless them by giving them things, we pray for them. But we also need to receive that as well. And as he was greater than Jesus, it says, was greater than Abraham because he died. He was going to die and come back to life. So we too, we can aim for eternal life, which is the greater thing. So now I'm going to hand back to Debbie.